Today's reading, it's Acts 8. Acts 8, 26 through 40. And it's in page 1177. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading his passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and we love you because you died on the cross for us and you set us free, O God. Even as we listen to your word today, I pray that you will open our hearts, open the doors of our hearts to really listen to you and to hear from your word. I pray for the pastor as you use him. God, just let your words flow through him. May your Holy Spirit guide him as he teaches us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Diana. This morning in our adult class, we were talking about knowledge and understanding and who can really say that I'm a Christian or I'm a follower of God. And there was a statement made, and a brother made the statement that people take the Bible in their hands sometimes and they read and they don't understand anything at all, or they understand very little because there's no one to explain it to them. And I said, that's interesting you say that, because that's this morning's message. Something interesting happened when I was going in Armenia. I was going to a village. I asked this man, and you'll hear a lot of examples and anecdotes I'll be sharing with you, because I believe this will be fresh information and not taken from some computer site or some books I read, but these are real things that happen. We were going to this village, to Spirak. Spirak was the place, the village where there was a great earthquake 20 years ago, and many, many, many thousands of Armenians were killed. On the way there, I said, how do you reach to these people? How do you evangelize them? How do you start churches in these villages? And he said, well, I do it this way. He said, you see the lady going, walking on the side? I said, yes. He said, I'll stop now the car and you ask her a question. I said, no way, I can't. First of all, my Armenian is different. I speak Western Armenian. She speaks Eastern Armenian. He says, no problem, she'll understand you. And he stopped the car and he turned to the lady and she said, my new Armenian, I'm going to say, Madam, Vonces, which means how are you? And she says, I'm fine. And he said, this gentleman is from Canada and wants to ask you a question. She says, yes. And he said, ask her the question. I said, what questions? Question. He said, ask her who Jesus Christ is. And I said, Madam, hello, I'm from Canada. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? And she says, sure I know who Jesus Christ is. I said, who is he? She said, he's the King, he's the Lord, he's... And she gave me at least three or four different things, five things, about she knew about Jesus. And then I said, well, what is Jesus to you? And how much do you know about Jesus? She says, I don't know much. And you know what? This happened repeatedly when I met people. Because in Armenia is a very proud country of their heritage, of being Christian. But if nobody explains to the individual person who God is, what the Bible is, and who Jesus is, they will only know a little bit that is in their culture or in any culture or in their understanding. Well, this Ethiopian man knew quite a bit about the faith in God, in the living God. This Ethiopian man knew enough to go, and he was an official actually in the government. He knew enough and he believed enough to go all the way to Jerusalem and try and worship the best he could. But that wasn't enough. Many people today go to church, stay for an hour or two there, and leave the church unchanged. And at the end, you will find out that there are millions of people who call themselves Christian or religious people that know very little about God, who God is, and who Jesus is, and who and what the Bible is all about. And so someone else who is good and convincing people comes with a different doctrine, different religion, and they are able to sort of influence these people because no one took the time to bring to them the Bible. Not the Baptist religion, not the Catholic religion, not the Greek Orthodox religion, but the Bible. Because I believe the Bible is the key to our understanding who God really is. But in Acts 8, we see a man who refused to do that. That is, refused to leave the church, not knowing anything, and be satisfied. He refused. He said, no, I want to know more. And he picked up the Bible and he was reading. Let's look at his example and learn from it this morning. As a matter of fact, his example should challenge us all. As a government official in Ethiopia was traveling, he traveled actually to celebrate Passover, as I said, in Jerusalem. He attends the Passover service or services, we don't know how many he went to, and celebrations, and now he is returning home feeling what? Empty. And there are a lot of people today who will go to a church or churches or meetings or gatherings or assemblies, and they will have a good time singing, and they will be enjoying the choir, and they will enjoy the pastor's sort of nice talk and the comforting speech, if you wish. But then when they are out of the church, they will be sort of wondering, what was it all about? And I believe that what this Ethiopian did is a good example for us to investigate and see what the Bible says. What is the Bible saying? On his way home while crossing the desert, and when I sort of read once again these notes and came across these three words, crossing the desert, I thought of today's society, the desert that we are crossing. This world today is a spiritual desert. No one cares. No one understands. The world has nothing to offer to our spirit and our soul. The churches, it seems, have lost that power and the message of truth that would strengthen the soul and give a hope to those who go to church. And so we see this man crossing the desert, reading the Bible. But it seems that he is having difficulties in understanding what is he is reading. And I believe there are a lot of people today who read the Bible and have difficulties in understanding it. And I believe this Bible has become either a source of hope and joy, or a book of questions and a book of things that make no sense to them, or at least they want to understand it, but they can't. And then you have a pastor who picks up the Bible and says the Bible is the Word of God, and says if you give, He'll give you. And it says if you ask Him, He will give you. And this pastor may continue saying that if you believe in the Bible, and if you believe in Jesus, and if you become a Christian, all you're going to have in your life is happiness, joy, wealth, understanding, and all these things. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that there is a God that loves you. The Bible says that God has created you. There are Christians today who are not sure who created this earth. They say, I'm a Christian, but I don't know, I can't believe in creation. There are people who read the Bible and say, I'm a Christian, I'll die for my Christian faith. And you tell them, who is Jesus? And they'll tell you, well, Jesus is Jesus. And that's where they're going to stop. I come from a country, Greece, where they are very proud of their heritage and Christianity. But you talk to Greeks these days, and I do that very often, and they don't know very much because no one has taken the time to explain to them who Jesus really is. His hungry heart, this Ethiopian's hungry heart, is yearning to find God, his creator. This man went to the celebrations. This man went through the whole process of celebrating God and offering sacrifices and doing the things that everyone else did. And yet he is empty on the inside, and he is going home to Ethiopia wondering, what is it all about? Where am I going to find God? Let me see once again. Maybe I missed something. And he's reading Isaiah. And Isaiah is describing Jesus. And all of a sudden, he's even more confused now. But that wasn't the end of his trip. Now, back in Samaria, we see another man. We see Philip. Philip is having a great success. People are coming to confess their sins and are being saved. The Holy Spirit is at work. Lives are being changed, and the disciples are celebrating and are having a very excited crusade. Well, often we hear about successful meetings. Often we hear about the Lord blessed us and we had 200 people come forward and God blessed us and people are celebrating and no one wants to go home. And that's something like that happening here. But God has His eye on one individual person who needs to be touched. And that man was not in Jerusalem celebrating. But God is looking and following one man in the desert who is not even a Jew. He is a lonely Ethiopian. This Ethiopian man was not culturally really part of the masses in Jerusalem. And this Ethiopian man is going back to his different culture, different race, different color. And yet God is seeing the big celebration there, all the Jews finding God or at least celebrating their activities. But God's eye is on this Ethiopian man who is going back with an empty heart. And God wants this Ethiopian to find him. And God talks to this Ethiopian and says, read the Bible. Well, obviously in his heart. And the Ethiopian picks up the Bible and is reading and is getting closer to the truth, but he cannot understand it. And God says, Philip, come out. And I'll transport you to this Ethiopian. And God picks up Philip from there and transports him near the Ethiopian. Then God looks at another man, Philip. And Philip is having a good time. The Passover is going well. Hundreds of people are having a very successful ministry. God is very pleased with what's happening in Samaria. But he wants, as I said, to help this lonely Ethiopian in the desert who is searching to find God and peace. So God sends Philip to find this spiritually hungry Ethiopian. And I believe that God knows every searching heart. And God somehow uses others or himself, or he will even use a donkey if he wishes to speak to someone, because we see that in the Bible. Philip leaves a large, successful meeting to reach just one man in a desert. Sometimes we evaluate the missions and missionaries and churches, say, how many people did you bring to God? How successful is your church? How many people come to your Bible studies? And if he says 100, oh my goodness, you're blessed, you're doing such a good job. And if the other person who has only been able to influence one man feels so lonely, so unsuccessful, if you wish. But the Sunday before we left, I mentioned to you Noah. Noah preached for many years, and the only family that accepted God was his own family. But look, the results. God reaches one person at a time. God can reach thousands at a time, but God is such a loving, compassionate God that he will search and find the searching heart and reach one man at a time. Because God knows the value of one soul, he'll do that. Jesus died for individual sinners. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him, accepts him. Anyone who accepts him have everlasting life. Jesus cares for you. No matter where or who you are, you may be coming from a different culture, different race, different religious background, different understanding of the Bible. You may come from a rich background or poor background or very clean background or very confusing and maybe not so clean background. You may be a criminal or you may be a holy person. It doesn't matter. God loves you, the Bible says, and Jesus died for you. Your hungry heart is important to God. God meets a person who searches for Him with all his heart. Here is a man who is searching, and God is responding to his search. The Passover has not ended his search. He is still searching. Religion alone cannot satisfy and save the soul. People are searching and searching for thousands of years to find that ultimate Savior. The Savior that will not only give them money and joy and health, but that will give them that satisfaction of knowing that they have connected with God. In our little literature that we give out, the tract, "What Are You Searching For?" I'm quoting Pascal, the great physician, mathematician, who said, "In every human being there is a God-shaped vacuum that is yearning to be filled. And you cannot take a triangle and put it in a square. You can't take a square and try and put it in a triangle or in a round. You have to have the right size and the right kind of a piece to fit it in its right place." That's how it is in our heart. There is a shape, there is a vacuum, there is a hole, there is an emptiness that is shaped, God-shaped, and only God can fill it and give us that salvation, satisfaction. He takes his search to the Bible, this man, the Ethiopian. He searched in religion. He searched to find God in Ethiopia, couldn't find it. He searched in Jerusalem among the Jews who were celebrating the Passover, couldn't find it. And now he finally says, "Let me take the scriptures once again. Let me find God." And God responds to him and he says, "Here I am. I'm going to send you my messenger." Philip goes and talks to him. Don't be satisfied with religion. Come to Jesus in faith and you will find him. In Jeremiah 29:13 we read, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart. I don't believe there is any... I'm not God to know every human heart, but I don't believe, or at least I'm sure that the Bible says there is not one person who has been seeking God or searched for God and did not find him. In one way or another, God will reveal himself to this person. Philip gets to the point and asks. Sometimes we give a lot of talk to others about religion. "Well, what church are you going for? Well, do they light candles or they don't light candles? Do they cross themselves or they don't cross themselves? Do the communion, is it bread or is it like that?" And we go and on and on and on, and the person gets so fed up with our questions and comments that doesn't want to hear anymore anything. Rather than doing that, we must introduce him to God directly and talk to him about important things, just like Philip did. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And this other man says, "No, how can I understand it if no one explains it to me?" Do you understand what you are reading? A question that met the man's need. A question that offered help. Do you understand what you read or hear or see, dear brother and sister? Do you really know what you believe in? Do you really understand what a Christian is supposed to be? Do you really understand what the Bible says about God, the Creator? What about Jesus? The Bible says. We have developed these little theories about Christianity, about religion, about doctrines. I went to Armenia thinking that there won't be any doctrinal differences or comments or questions or... And I realized that before I went, others had been there. And they brought all this Western confusing stuff to them. And so now they wanted to know the truth. What do you say? You came from Canada, right? Yes. That's where the church is failing. Confusing people. The Ethiopian man was confused. Other gods, the real God, this kind of celebration, that kind of a celebration. But what he really wanted is to meet God, to see God, to get to know what is the truth. Philip was a deacon, actually. Today, when we say deacon, it sounds like someone very important in the church. But actually, in Greek, diakonos means a server. A diakonos, he was a server. He was serving on tables, if you wish, or people. And God chose him of all the people. Philip was not a great apostle. He was a deacon, a servant, and says, Philip, I'm going to use your mouth. I'm going to use your brain. I'm going to use your eyes. I'm going to use your understanding. And I'm going to use you as an instrument to touch this man's heart. And you will win him for me. And the Ethiopian listened carefully and understood what Philip said. He was not a pastor or an evangelist, but that did not stop him from winning souls for God. Philip helped the searching man find Christ. What about us? What about you? Do you care about others? Are you willing to be used by God to help others find Christ? Remember that Jesus is the answer for every empty and troubled heart. That is, God is at work in answering and responding to those who search for Him. The Bible says, He emptied Himself from His glory in heaven and came to this desert, cold earth to save me and you. Jesus fills the need of every troubled heart. The Ethiopian man accepts the message, believes in it, and wants to be baptized immediately. One of the questions they asked me in Armenia, the pastors, there were a few pastors, please tell us, you from Canada, what does the Bible say about baptism? And I said, what the Bible said. And they said, well, here there are some groups who said, when you accept the Lord, you have to wait 3 years to be baptized. Another group says, and all this information has come from the West. Another group says, you got to first give your testimony so many times, and you have to prove to everyone that you are a good Christian to be baptized. What do you say? Well, I said, what I say is not important, but I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that baptism is the outward expression of the inward change that has already taken place. Meaning that when someone accepts God and says, God, you are there, accepts Jesus and makes him his own Lord and Savior, and he says, please, Lord, forgive me and wash my sins away and make me a new creature, and recreate me, if you wish, and he becomes a born-again believer, then he is ready to be baptized according to the Scriptures. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and tell them to do everything that I have instructed. He wants to demonstrate his faith. This Ethiopian now wants to demonstrate his faith to others. There were others traveling with him. Don't forget, he wasn't the only man. And he wants to tell them, look, I have accepted the message. I have accepted, understood that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And so I want to demonstrate that by being lowered in the water as if I'm dying to sin and being resurrected in you. This is not a Baptist tradition, believe it or not. Because the churches are called Baptist, it doesn't mean they invented baptism. Baptism is something very biblical, that the disciples and then the apostles and even Jesus was baptized. He declares his faith, this Ethiopian declares his faith by his word and baptism. And I'm not saying this because I want you all to come and say, oh, those who are not baptized may be. No, I'm just saying what the Bible says. He now knows and experiences that real joy, what real joy can be. And I'm reading from Acts 8:39. When they came up out of the water, so that means the Ethiopian went in the water, and then when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I don't know how many of you have experienced salvation. How many of you have experienced the rebirth, if you wish, spiritual birth. When that happens, you may be 80 years old, 90 years old, or you may be 10 years old. The joy of the Lord, that new birth, gives you wings and you want to fly. God knows the need in your heart. Christ is your answer. Trust Him and find in Him all you need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for not ignoring even one soul. When a soul is searching to find you, he finds you. Because you make it possible and you enable this person to find you. Father, we would like to become instruments in your hands like Philip was. We want to be able and ready to go wherever you send us, not in other countries, not in other mission fields, but where we are, at school, at work, wherever we are, to be used by you to help others come and find that joy, that peace and salvation in you. Lord, please help each one of us this morning and strengthen our faith. And help us to go out and become light, a light wherever we go. In your blessed name I pray, amen.